Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, think about the tragedy that's hit America, that's hit the streets of Dallas, that's hit Minnesota and hit Baton Rouge. Well, today, of all the people to be able to handle this conversation, T.D. Jakes, whose church, the Potter's House, is right in the heart of Dallas, who has police officers that go to his church that work at the Dallas Police Department, and he has a heart for that city. He gathers everyone at the Potter's House just last night for us to better understand and try to figure out what's going on and what do we do from here. As a matter of fact, let's go there now.
As we begin to lead a discussion, or participate, I should say, in a discussion that is going on around America. And it is a difficult discussion, but it is an important discussion. I have learned in life that you cannot avoid difficult discussions. It's not healthy, it's not wise, it's not smart. You have to talk about things, even if you put yourself at risk emotionally by exposing your own feelings. And if you don't do that, it's not healthy, and it leads to the detriment of a relationship not to be able to talk. Can you say amen? As best as I can determine, this week we've had some atrocities and some painful things to go through as a people. That affects all Americans, from Baton Rouge to Minneapolis. We started seeing on our television screens the kinds of images that nobody wants to see. And our children see them. And how do we explain to our children what happened in Baton Rouge? Especially when we don't fully understand ourselves. How do you find the words to explain what happened in Minneapolis and the pain thereof? And a lot of what we see the same picture, but how we feel about the pictures also depends on our history that we bring to the moment. We see the same images, but they also conjure up reflections out of our own life and past, and a lot of our opinions and perspectives are based on where we came from and what it reminds us of and how we deal with those kinds of issues. And out of that national narrative, there were marches and demonstrations that began to break out, not only here in Dallas, but all over the country. But particularly here in Dallas, what began as a peaceable demonstration, where people began to exercise their rights to march and to comment and to express themselves and to process, the kind of demonstration that mothers had strollers. These weren't thugs. People brought their kids out. And it wasn't just black people. It was black people and white people and brown people. Don't let the media fool you. It wasn't just black people. It was all kinds of people. I pray the day will come that the world will not tell us what we think based on the color of our skins, as if we are all monolithic. We are not monolithic. All black people don't think the same things. All white people don't think the same things. All Christians don't think the same things. Glory to God, I can't even get all my kids to agree on where we're going to eat. So that uniqueness of our opinions and our perspectives is what makes this country great. And we were exercising that, and that was going very well. There was a certain amount of frolicking and camaraderie existing between the demonstrators and the police, because the demonstration was not really against the police officers, it was against police brutality. Let's put it in its proper perspective. And in the process of all of that, out of nowhere comes an attack, a life-threatening attack. A lot of people got hurt, a lot of people were afraid. The police came in and stepped in a phenomenal way. Let's give God a praise for our police department. Hats off to Chief Brown for his leadership in a very tough situation. With dignity and class, he led our police department, and yes, at the end of it, there were some fatalities, of which we are very sad about and very concerned about and very touched about, and several police officers are yet in the hospital recovering. There were some civilians that incurred some injuries in the process. But the reason that I'm doing this is because I believe that every one of us was in some way injured, some way disturbed. I cut off the TV set, but I couldn't cut off the images. It continued to go around and around in my head all night long. I found myself up at 2 o'clock, up at 3 o'clock in the morning, just processing, being concerned, because for me, this is home. I raised my children here. This is my home. I buried my mother here. This is my home. I'm born in West Virginia, but now I'm a cowboy now, y'all. I traded in my hillbilly suit for my cowboy boots. Y'all are stuck with me now. I'm not going anywhere. And our mayor, who is in the service today with class and dignity, led our city in such a way. Mayor Rawlings, we're so proud of you. We're very, very proud of you. And listen, he can't stay the duration of the service. You can only imagine how pulled he is right now, dealing with so many. Leadership has a lot of responsibilities in it. A lot of people like the title, but they don't want to do the work. You're talking about sleepless in Dallas. I know he was sleepless and probably still is sleepless as he's gone about doing it, but I thought it would be remiss of us not, first of all, just to acknowledge the fine way that he represented our city with integrity and grace. I think we ought to say so. This has nothing to do with politics. It just has something to do with the truth. And I think we just ought to acknowledge him. He paid a sacrifice to be where he is. And when he got the call to come and be in our service this morning, he dropped everything, rearranged his schedule, said, I'll come and spend a few minutes with us. And I just wanted to have a conversation with you. Are you Mike, Mayor? I don't know
whether
you're not Mike. Well, come over here by me and here we come. I was going to have you talk in my chest. When you look at where we are now and we have survived and effectively been able to steer.
Okay, first of all, before you ask me something.
Okay.
I want to just say thank you. Okay?
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you for the prayers. He was great Friday at noon. You had him rocking at Thanksgiving Square. And the prayers that have come from this church, I met one of your deacons. He said 600 men, black and white, were out on the freight dock praying for us every moment.
Yes,
and just, I feel that. So I just, sorry, I just want to say thank you.
We are here to serve. We are here to serve. Thank you for that. Mayor Rawlings, I know how tough leadership is, and you have so many people to answer to. And as you grapple with bringing our city together, blacks and whites and browns, and deal with Democrats and Republicans and all the different ideologies, where do we go from here?
Well, first of all, we have to do some mourning, okay? These families are burying their loved ones.
Yes.
Whether in Baton Rouge or Minneapolis or Dallas, Texas.
Yes, sir.
And I think mourning is an important thing. And we come together when we mourn.
Yes.
When someone has a wedding, we come together.
Yes.
Funerals are mourning. So I think, as I think about this, I love the notion of healing, that we're sick.
Yes.
And we've got to figure that out. And the two questions, obviously race is the big issue. We can't, as you said, we got to be honest with one another, okay? We've got to be honest. But there are two questions that are deep questions that I think about. One is, do we want to change? Do we really want to change? Okay? That's a personal question. We can't take a vote on that and we all change. Every person has got to decide that. Most people want the other guy to change.
Right.
I want you to change, but not me. The question is, do we want to change? And if so, we've got to get the right medicine for this. We can't have the medicine of healing as hate and And what I believe the medicine we're taking right now is separatism. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good medicine to take. And so choosing the right medicine and then realizing, do we want the medicine to work long term? Most of us, if you're like me or in the microwave society, we want to take the pill and it be over, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't we?
Yes.
Let's figure this out by the weekend, okay? It's not gonna. Senator West and I talked on Friday, and we said, it's our generation. Mm-hmm. I guess you're about my age,
yeah,
okay?
Pretty close.
That somehow have not worked on change for these young men, these young women, okay? And so if we want real medicine, it's gonna have to be through education. Education in our schools, education in our Sunday schools, education in our basketball court, education in our Boy Scout troops, okay?
Right.
And the second thing is a moral question. Can you be wrong and still be good? I've got to ask that question.
That's good.
Because
That's good.
If you're wrong, mm-hmm. well, you're bad,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm good because I'm right. The question is, can somebody disagree with somebody but not demonize them?
Mm-hmm. That's,
hard to do.
Mm-hmm. But that's very good.
And words matter. Words matter. I was only mad twice. I was mad at the shooter
mm-hmm.
because of the pain, and I was mad when I heard a politician call the protesters cowards and hypocrites.
Yes, sir.
Now that's demonizing a group that a politician disagrees with.
Mm-hmm.
You don't demonize people. You say, hey, I think you got it wrong here.
Yep.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But God loves you and I'm gonna lift you up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's hard change.
It is a hard change.
But we do it because we're a family. I saw those families today.
Yes.
Your church is a family, the city is a family, and this family is not going to be ever broken. Thank you.
Absolutely. It occurred to me. It occurs to me that we have a tremendous opportunity. The eyes of the world, not just the nation, but the whole world is looking at our city. I listened at them talking about Chief Brown and the changes that he's instituted and how it became a benchmark for other police departments around the country. And I think in that same similitude, mayors all around the nation are looking to you, and your leadership will set an example for other cities confronting this. And that's why we pray so diligently for you, because it not only affects Dallas, but you are becoming a template for how to bring people together in a way that is holistic and very harmonious. Amen. Can you give us just a sneak peek into, I believe as a leader that everything moves through strategy, that it doesn't move through happenstance. We have to be intentional about it. When you're sitting up, if you're like me, sitting up at 2 o'clock in the morning with the weight of your responsibilities laying on your shoulder and you grapple with strategy, what strategies can you share with us that will continue this? Because we get all revved up in these moments and everybody sings Kumbaya and lights candles and then we go right back to where we went to before. How do we keep it from slipping back into the quagmire of tribalism and indifference?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's all personal, okay? You have to understand how history works. History works through those tipping dominoes, and we get to a tipping point. So every action you take is important because you don't know the repercussions. Second, strategically, I think we have to understand, yes, it is about race, but underlying that is the income disparity, the education disparity, the opportunity disparity. And so I always go, someone told me once to ask why 5 times and you finally get to the root cause, okay? It's not because your pigment's like this and mine's that way, okay?
No.
It's the history of 200 years, of the last 30 years, and understanding where we are today because of that. Now, here's the question. Do we want to fight yesterday's battles or tomorrow's battles?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I want to fight tomorrow's battles and prepare for those. I want to build a bridge and get over it, okay? But that's hard work because we're going to have to take God's grace and forgiveness and understand that we've got to deal with policy issues that are tough, that are gritty, that we're going to argue about, that we're going to disagree about.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
But can we do it in power to a third idea, a better idea, and by doing that, come together as that family and keep that family together?
I think it is so important. I think it is so important. One of the things that I think in my own mind is it is, you don't have to be a racist to become complacent and comfortable in staying amongst people who dress like you, vote like you, and think like you. But if we're going to be one nation, we're going to have to cross the line. We're going to have to cross the line and come out of our comfort zone. And I want to do something. I didn't plan to do this, but I think it's important. Every person in this room who is not an African American, would you stand for a moment? You're not an African American. Look at this room. We want to salute you for crossing the line. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, Dr. King said way back when that the most segregated time in America was 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, okay? We have got to learn to worship with one another, okay? Think about that. I know he wants you to be here at Potter's House all the time, okay? But just every 4 or 5 months, go visit another church, okay? Just do it.
Every now and then, just every now and then.
Is that all right?
It's absolutely all right. In the interest of being honest, I think that it is easier for African Americans to come out of our comfort zone because we had to go to school out of our comfort zone. We had to go to the bank out of our comfort zone. We had to go to work out of our comfort zone. It is really the general populace that has the difficulty sometimes in coming into other cultures.
Let's be honest. It is hard.
Yeah.
And you know, I get banned sometimes and bring people to churches because it's, wait a minute, these people aren't like me. And it's like, that's crazy. They are like you. They may not, you know, you may not think they are. Mm-hmm. But they are.
Absolutely.
And so that's what we got to work on as a city. Absolutely. And there's something that we do around Martin Luther King Day, which is have dinner with somebody that is not of your group, okay? Mm-hmm. Just that's a great strategy as well. I mean, just find somebody. Go to a different part of town. Go to a restaurant that you don't know. Just everybody kind of do that, and I think that helps.
Go to Papa Do's.
Yeah.
Food is a great common denominator.
We love to break bread together.
I know you have to run, but one more time, I want you to thank God for our mayor, his leadership.
This is so important. This is a great conversation. They're having it in Dallas. We need to listen and learn from it. We are continuing with the conversation that happened last night at the Potter's House, T.D. Jakes, having it with the whole community, from the mayor on down to every individual, including the man that was walking around with the gun on his back, but he wasn't the suspect, but they thought he was. The victims' mothers that took place in Minnesota and Baton Rouge and so much more. Let's go join them now at the Potter's House in Dallas, A Conversation with America.
Speaking of the mayor's leadership, he called an ecumenical prayer opportunity. He mentioned it was all types of interfaith ecumenical experience that went on at Thanksgiving Park. It was powerful. We're going to share just a clip of that with you, and then I'll be right back. Take a look at this. But David said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. America, it's morning. And it's time to wake up out of our sleep. I am going to ask you to join hands all around this area. Let us touch and agree, because if we agree, we can turn this nation around. Our Father and our God, as I bow my head, I admit that I am limited. The bowing of my head is a confession that I am finite and you are infinite. that you have the power to rule our nation, to right the wrongs, to correct the injustices. Yeah. Oh God, give us men and women of courage that will no longer look the other way when we see tragedies in other neighborhoods. Give us the kind of men and women that will take on their shoulders the burdens of other people. Give us leadership for our nation that reflects your heart, your compassion, your love, and most of all, your wisdom. Our country is laying on the edge of destruction. But just because it's on the edge does not mean it has to fall over. I ask you, God, to send your angels to catch us lest we fall, to keep our feet from falling against the stones of adversity. Do not allow us to digress into the quagmire for which our fathers fought and died to liberate us from. Let us be strong in the hour of compromise. Let us be deliberate in the moments of instability. My God, my Father, we pray not just for the haves, but for the have-nots. Not just for those that are doing well, but for those that are in despair and degradation. We pray, Lord, that we might be able to devise an infrastructure that does not leave them feeling like they have to take matters into their own hands. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Arise until every evil voice is vanquished. Arise until we recognize that we are all made from one blood. We have different skins. We have different styles. We have different philosophical ideologies. But by one blood have you made all men. Let that which unites us be greater than that which divides us. We pray for our president. We pray for our elected officials. We pray for those who have been moved into positions of consideration. We cannot repeat the mistakes of yesterday. For righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We confess our sins before our God, and we ask you, Lord, to cleanse us. As I close this prayer today, I close it with your promise. For you said in your word, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek their face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Heal America. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.
And amen. And amen. And amen. And amen.
We've got a, we were going to go in a different fashion, but we're running out of time for her to be online. But Quinietta is joining us online from Louisiana. She is the mother of the son of Alton, who was killed down in Baton Rouge. And we want to take advantage of this opportunity that we can talk to her. Quinietta, can you hear me?
Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning to you. We first of all offer our condolences to you and to your son and to all of the family that is in grief right now. When we look at the images of Alton and we see him, we met him in this horrific manner, but he was a person before that. What type of person was he, and how would you like to see him best remembered?
Alton was a very generous guy. There's nothing that you couldn't ask him for. If he had it, it was yours, without a shadow of a doubt. He was very caring. He was very sweet. And the way I want everybody to remember him is, you know, remember him as his legacy, the city man.
When you, I looked at the images of your son weeping and crying, and I kind of, it resonated particularly strong with me because my father died when I was a teenager. I know the pain that he is feeling, and our prayers and thoughts go out with him in particular. How are you handling working with him through this difficult and almost unexplainable situation?
Well, for starters, we're trying to stay away from, social media. Really not turning the TVs on right now. With one another, and just continue to pray with each other. And you know, I tell Cameron, I say, I know sometimes when you close your eyes, you still see it, and that's okay. But when you see it, you just pray on it, and you just pray even harder. you know, to just ask God to continue to, you know, to guide you and, you know, to ask you for deliverance. I mean, you know, that is a painful thing for a 15-year-old child to go through. That's a difficult thing for anybody to go through.
When you, if you had the chance, and it's too late now, to talk to the officers that were about to arrest him, what do you think that they did not get or understand about Alton? What are we missing about these individuals that we have preconceived ideas about?
Well, I will first ask them, you know, what did he do? That's for starters, okay? Second of all, I would have asked them, you know, who, what, when, why, and how. You know, I mean, but you're right. It's far too late now to ask.
You know,
it's really hard, Bishop, because, you know, you have a million that you want to ask or that you could have asked, but you can't ask.
Yes. Yes, I understand that. What we want to do, I know you have to go, and thank you for holding on this long and allowing us to spend a few moments with you. As you prepare to go to your service, just know that there are thousands of people in this room and many more thousands around the world that are praying for you as you raise your child and guide him through this time, that our thoughts and prayers are with you. Give it up one more time for Quinietta.
Thank you all so very much, Bishop. I truly appreciate that.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless y'all as well.
Senator West, help us out. We don't know what to think. We don't know what to do. From a government perspective, from a legislative perspective, you really can't legislate morality. You can't make people love each other. You can't make people do the right thing. But what can we do to create an atmosphere of harmony between the various communities and the police officers? And from a government perspective, what do you think is next?
Well, first of all, Bishop, thank you for convening this town hall meeting in God's house. Let's be real clear. I want you and the members of the Pilots House to understand that this is ground zero. Let that sink in, ground zero for change, not only here in Texas, but throughout this country. For you see, the eyes of the world are upon us right now. When we begin to look at what the Dallas Police Department has instituted under the direction of Chief David Brown, I think it's model. And that other police departments need to look at some of the best practices that have been put in place here. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that everything is right at the Dallas Police Department. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, having been at that rally the other night, that the shooting of our Dallas police officers wasn't about the Dallas Police Department. It was about law enforcement in general. What we're saying today is that our grieving, our feelings, our support of the families here in Dallas is supportive of our Dallas Police Department, but also indicative of our support of police throughout the United States of America. I say this to you, we keep coming back here, and I don't know about you, but when I heard about the death of Alton, and then the next day I heard about the death of Philando, I sat up on the side of my bed, and frankly, I cried. And I don't know how many of you felt the same way.
Yes.
But we can't keep coming back to this place, and it's going to be important that Democrats, Republicans, and all of us not just say we're going to not just give lip service to it, but begin looking at what Dallas is doing and some of the other departments where you've seen the de-escalation in the number of reports of police brutality filed by citizens, and figure out exactly how we replicate those types of things.
You know, I was doing an interview yesterday with a gentleman from the Washington Post, and he said to me that one of the people that he interviewed, the lady said, and I believe I'm quoting correctly, black people are tired.
That they are?
She said, from Emmett Till, these sorts of images coming up and over again are very, very frustrating. And when there is a case that is investigated, and the evidence seems to lead toward the fact that that particular police officer, not the whole police officer world in general, but that particular police officer in that split second may have made a poor decision, that but by the time they get to bantering around in court, they're always exonerated. They're always exonerated.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
I don't think that most African Americans or minorities, Latinos, are wanting favors. They just want to be sure that justice is just.
The system is working. Exactly. And when you think about, let me give you of an example of a justice system not working. Chicago. Mm-hmm. Where you had a bad shooting by a police officer, and it appears as though that the government, local government, fought releasing the video of the shooting for 14 months. They released it the day before the officers indicted. That type of activity by government makes people less trusting of the system.
When you consider the fact that a lot of times it depends on who's running for office at that point and how close they are to election and all sorts of things that have nothing to do with what is right or wrong, there is an exasperation that I think on our younger people plays out in this way. They have given up on the system. They've given up on the system. They're taking matters into their own hands. Wrong, it's wrong, it's rain. But how can we begin to restore their confidence that we can fix our judicial system and make it function fair and with equity across the board?
Well, I think it's very important that we make the statement, as the millennials are making a statement.
We're going to come back and join this very important town hall meeting that took place last night at the Powder's House in Dallas, Texas. And it's just so important. Everything we wanted to be able to talk about, they're talking about it and doing an excellent job. And there's so much more to come. We're going to join the program. But if you haven't yet gone to civilchristianity.org, it's learning how to be a civil Christian in a civil land. We need to be able to do exactly like T.D. Jakes is doing in Dallas. It's mm-hmm. exactly what we need to be doing as the church. And more opportunities are going to come for us to be able to stand up. But the question was being asked, you know, what do we do for the young folks? And how do they respond? As a matter of fact, let's go now to T.D. Jakes, Potter House, middle of Dallas, talking in the town hall meeting about America's conversation about how do we prepare for the younger generation. Let's join Ben.
I think it's very important that we make the statement, as the millennials are making the statements, that black lives do matter. And that needs to be a multi-generational. We're not saying that all lives don't matter. We're just saying that black lives do matter. And it appears to be that in instances where there are confrontations with law enforcement, that there's no justice. And we need to make certain that we restore our faith in the justice system and that the wheels of justice, yes, everyone has to have due process, especially our police officers, because they're in harm's way. You think about this, Pastor. If you are a police officer and you receive a call that there's a shooter, you have a family just like everyone else. And we've got to make, and they want to go home to their family. But we want to make certain that they exercise the discretion utilizing the procedure that's been given by law enforcement to deal with the situation that's in front of them. And if they don't do it, and if we can discern some sort of malintent on their part, then they need to be prosecuted.
You know, absolutely, absolutely. You know, when you did that, mention that Black Lives Matter, there's a whole lot of controversy around that phrase. And I'm not sure that they heard what you said, that Black Lives Matter does not mean that white lives don't matter, that brown
exactly
lives
right.
don't matter,
exactly
that,
right.
that blue lives don't matter, that exactly. everybody's life matters. But there is a feeling of oppression that makes most African Americans feel like their lives are not held at an equal value in the minds of some people.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. It is not It is not an attempt to disregard the fact that others' lives are important. All lives are matter. In fact, at this point now, I have white people in my family. So those lives do matter. I have biracial nieces and nephews. We can no longer think of people in terms of colors alone. We have to think of people in terms of hearts and love and care. Can I get a witness, somebody? You know, I know Chris Stewart is here. I want to hear from you. We just heard from Quinietta. As her attorney.
Oh, we are going to, we're committed to our next program to be able to have this. We're going to continue on because her attorney is going to be talking next. And he's the same attorney that, remember the officer that was had a particular man that didn't pay his child support. He pulled him over. I believe it was in North Carolina, and he started
South Carolina.
He started running from him. He tased him, and he kept running. He just fired these shots
at his back.
At his back, it killed him, murdered him. And
I believe he was convicted.
Yes, and we'll hear on this. Make sure you join us for our next program because they're going to continue talking. Officers from the Dallas Police Department are going to be there. You're going to have correction officers that are there that are saying, "Listen, out of the people that are in jail." Statistics say 95% of them are just ones that, you know, got on the wrong side of the law. It's really about 5% of our population that's really bad. Mm-hmm. And we got to be able to help people get through this. And we got to be able to get rid of what the bad element that has the kind of mindset to be able to harm anybody, no matter what the reason is. You don't need to be in that particular position. But make sure we're going to continue this town hall meeting in our next program. I think T.D. Jakes did an excellent
job. Fantastic, really.
You know, the attorney for Alton is going to be there.
Alton Sterling
and several others as well. So let's just close out in prayer. This is such an important time. That's why I wanted to be able to bring to you straight from Dallas this moment of importance to hear what is God saying? How do we walk this out? And the humility of Pastor Jakes as he's talking this thing out. Lord, we just ask you right now, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for the safety of our citizens. We pray for the safety of our police officers, Lord. We pray that you would comfort the families that lost loved ones, Lord God, during this last couple of days in America, Father God, that you would help us to come alert to any kind of injustices, that you would help us be a just people under your justice, Father God, that you would bring justice to the things that have taken place, God. And we just thank you for this leadership that's being taken place in Dallas with T.D. Jakes, with the Mayor Rawlings, Lord, with Chief David Brown, Lord, and all the ones that just stood up and said, called out to you, Lord God, and humbled themselves, God. And we just humble ourselves today, Lord, and ask you, Lord, for that you would forgive our sins, Lord. You would heal our land, Lord. Deliver us, God, from this evil one, the things that are the sin that's in our nation, Father. We ask you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Make sure you join us for the rest of this interview, this town hall. A discussion with America in our next program. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.